The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Got a call from an old man. We used to be real close. Said he couldn't go off the American way. Closed the shop, sold the house, bought a ticket to the West Coast.
Now we can. Good morning, Shasta County. It is July 2nd, 2023. That was Billy Joel, My Life. This is Kevin Cry, and this is my show. I want to welcome you today. The weather is going to be a high of 109, and it's going to be in the hundreds during almost the entire week until Thursday. It's going to drop into the mid-90s for a few days, so you better get a jacket because the mid-90s seems almost cold when we've been pushing 110. This weekend, my family and I went out to the lake for my daughter's 20th birthday. She turned 20 on the 28th, and it was awesome. It was great to see so many families out there enjoying the national park. The only drawback was the parking situation. They don't national parks don't offer day passes. You can get a week pass or a year pass. So essentially, if you're going out to a whiskey town or a national park, it's going to be $25 a day. If you're only going to go one day because you got to buy a week pass. But that's okay. I digress. We have a lot to tackle this morning, so let's jump in. The theme for today's show is going to be local control. Local control is something that I campaigned on and really had no idea the in-depth need for local control and that local voice for Shasta County. I'm a firm believer in constantly setting short-term and long-term goals. I do it in my personal life, and I do it in my business regularly. You have to assess where you are to understand where you are, but then where you're headed, so you'll end up at your target. And then staying focused on your North Star is important because you always need to be analyzing, you know, am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? And, as I do goal setting with the 4th of July approaching this week, I look back at the past few years, what I've been doing on the 4th of July, you know, and Facebook memories start to pop up. And I think everybody sees the time pre-COVID and post-COVID as a very distinct difference or paradigm in time. It's kind of like B.C. and A.D., right? Before Christ, after death. But I want to play a clip from a little over 2 years ago. It's President Joe Biden, and I paused there when I said President Joe Biden because it's still unbelievable to me. And this is his first primetime address in March after taking office in January. So, Liam, if we could, play that clip,
please. Do all this. If we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout and a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together. After this long, hard year, that will make this Independence Day something truly special.
Go ahead and stop the clip. So, and keep in mind, I wasn't running. I hadn't announced. I wasn't even going to a Board of Supervisors meeting for months yet. But, two things that stick out. He says there's a good chance, and I'm doing good chance in quotes, we will be able to get together. And I remember watching that and thinking, wait a minute. Like, I can get together on the 4th of July with whoever I want. But then second, as I watched that clip, because that first part I remember, like, very distinctly. And then on July 4th, where he said, it will be truly something special. It's like, excuse me, but I thought the Continental Congress approving the final wording of the Declaration of Independence was truly something special. I didn't know it really was any more special than that. But how does this tie into local control? We're going to fast forward to a comment made on June 20th board meeting, berating the Board of Supervisors, mostly me, for, quote, wasting so much of department heads' time and taxpayers' money during the budget hearings, which was crazy to me because I think people need to hear how their $600-plus million is being spent. And I have mentioned this, but in the past, not last year. Last year it lasted a couple hours, the budget hearings, and before that there was one that lasted a little over 8 minutes. But CEO Rickert, our new county executive officer, you know, he's already stated, and he's told the department heads, you know, that this day and a half budget hearing is just a preview. Like, he believes these should go on for days, and it should be a lot more in depth, a lot more questions being asked. But again, Chris Kellstrom and myself coming in so late, this really was last year's meeting, but then also CEO Rickert being here, there was no chance for him to do much. But, you know, so local control, we're talking about people's money. And then fast forward to the very next day on June 21st, I had a CAB meeting, which stands for Community Action Board. And that board really has very little teeth or purpose at this point, because housing is now part of HHSA. So it really doesn't serve the purpose it used to. But, and again, it's a very small budget, but a comment was made that the Board of Supervisors is so fractured. And I took offense to that, not just because I'm on the board, but when somebody says a board is fractured because they're not 5-0, 5-0, 5-0, that's disturbing to me, because I think it's healthy when boards aren't in lockstep. That means people have different ideas. People are bringing different ways to get things done. And even our board right now, when we talk about it being fractured, we've had some 5-0 votes, we've had some 3-2 votes, we've had some 4-1 votes, and I can't recall every single vote off the top of my head, but I've been the one in a 4-1 vote, and I've been on a lot of these sides, and so I don't think it's bad when boards aren't. I mean, I think it's actually very, very healthy when boards aren't in lockstep, but. This past meeting on June 27th, some officials or some individuals spoke about the Fountain Wind Project. And I'm guessing most of the listeners here are very familiar with that topic. But if you're not, here's just some very quick bullet points. The our local planning commission voted down a project, and then the Board of Supervisors voted it down twice. But now the state, the good old state of California, could overrule the county and its constituents and its people and approve the project under AB 205, which our fantastic Governor Gavin Newsom signed on June 30th, 2022. And the law authorizes the CEC, which is the California Energy Commission, to establish a new certification program for eligible non-fossil fuel power plants of 50 megawatts or more, related facilities, et cetera, et cetera. So what you see is you see the local people saying, we don't want this. And then they say it again, we don't want this. The elected officials say, we represent the people, and the people don't want this, neither do we. But the state says, okay, well, we've tried to let you guys make the decisions, but we obviously see that we know better, so we're going to take that from you. And in public comments, some people were pleading with the board to be more vocal about their stance opposing this project. And I know staff has been working on it, and as well as a couple supervisors, and to my knowledge, predominantly Supervisor Rickert, as it's in her district. But herein lies the problem. I believe the public, because of how COVID was handled nationally, and especially locally, the public has very little to no trust in the government. I mean, I was the least politically engaged person on the board. But, you know, when you don't stand up for kids and you crush small business, that'll wake you up, and it definitely woke me up. And so staying with local control in this theme, I sit on the SRTA board, which stands for Shasta Regional Transportation Agency. And we were voting on a bunch of items regarding carbon emissions and electric buses or alternative fuel vehicles, et cetera. Chair Jones sits on that board. So does Supervisor Kellstrom, Vice Mayor Mazzano, Tanessa Audette from the City of Reading, Councilman Greg Watkins from Shasta Lake, Mayor Gallagher from the City of Anderson. So we comprise this board, and we're talking about how the state is deeming gas-powered vehicles very dangerous to the environment, and they're pushing, obviously, electric or hydrogen fuel or all these different regulations and things that we have to do as it relates around transportation. So, again, we see how you have local control dissipating, you know, and so you have Fountain Wind, you have budget, you have transportation. And then, so hang with me here for a second, and let's just, you know, we've taken this horse out of the pen, let's ride it. So now let's go to, like, gun laws in California. You know, we have the most gun laws of any state. Our state tramples on the Constitution constantly, but especially as it relates to gun laws. And again, And I've stated my time in the military was a cup of coffee, just about 2 years. And I never owned a weapon until 2016. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, years after my brief time in the Army Guard and getting my CCW. And, you know, now I have three firearms. So I'm not this guy that's grown up hunting and fishing and been really outdoorsy and been around guns forever. But the state of California definitely wants to lock down our rights. So, you know, every time we have something on the agenda for the Second Amendment or anything concerning a family or individual's right to protect themselves and their property, our boardroom fills up. So you look at, you know, and you know, it's crazy. You can't make this stuff up of what the government does. But here is what I've now ascertained in my 6 months sitting in office, and then let's call it a year campaigning before that. And again, once you're seated as a supervisor or as an elected official, I can only speak as a supervisor because I was never on a school board or a little league board or a city council. But my foray into government here, I get a front row seat as it relates to government at the highest local level as a county supervisor, and the meetings and the things that I'm privy to, it just has been amazing. And when I say you can't make it up, you truly can't. So what's the tie-in between the CERT award, the Wynn Project, gun rights, et cetera? I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you think all the people who come to the board meeting for the Fountain Wynn Project, gun rights, green energy, et cetera, are the same people? I mean, here's a heads up. They aren't. Some, yes, absolutely. But by and large, people come when it pertains to them and what they care about. Humans are narcissistic by nature. I mean, that's not trying to cut on people in general, but people care about themselves and their own issues. And I would be guilty of that as well. Like, prior to being elected and prior to going down this process, it was about my family and my business. And that's what I stuck to, and that's what I focused on. But guess what unites the county? This is what I really realize, is local control. See, it doesn't matter what the topic is. Actually, I mean, and I think, no, I'm convinced what the people want is to be heard. They want a fighter. They want us to fight. They want all of their supervisors individually to fight for them and what they deem is important. And bottom line is this, national and state politics, whether we like it or not, are right here, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely. The state has their fingers in our county, and especially like never before. And they've always been there. We know that. The problem is, though, most elected leaders have allowed Shasta County to be bullied and controlled by people south of here, and that would be Sacramento. And that's a great segue for what is happening tomorrow in Sacramento as we talk about local control. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to give you a timeline of the Secretary of State and the California legislature trying to crush local control as it relates to arguably the greatest right we have as American citizens, and that is the right to vote and have confidence that our votes are counted honestly. Now, this is the issue that I have been in ground floor since the beginning of it, dating back to January. So when we come back, we'll run through that. We'll talk about how all these things I mentioned about local control all matters to each and every person listening and to all their neighbors and everybody else, because we have to keep local control. Bottom line, local control is the most important thing I am focused on. So we'll be right back. We'll take a quick break. See you in a second.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Are you okay with Gavin Newsom selecting your next supervisor? Stand with Kevin Cry and keep him in office. Please join us for a fundraising dinner and live auction on August 5th at the Senior Citizen Hall in Reading at 2290 Benton Drive. Tickets can be purchased in person at Ninja Coalition in Jones Fort or by calling 530-776-4790. Get your tickets soon. This event will sell out. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the committee Stop Newsom, No on Cry Recall.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate. When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Sellers at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
All right. Welcome back, Aaron Tippin. Got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Isn't that the truth? And I just recently heard that song for the first time. And now it's probably one of my favorite songs. I love the lyrics. So before the break, we talked about the timeline for AB 969 and the Secretary of State and what's happening around local control and voting. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to rip through this reasonably quick. And again, I'm one of the easiest people, supervisors or not, to get a hold of. I'm at the Ninja Gym pretty much every day, at least 5 or 6 days a week in some capacity. Gave my cell phone out forever. So if you want to have coffee and you want to talk more about this, let's do it, or any subject for that matter. So January 24th at our board meeting, the Shasta County Supervisors voted to terminate the contract with the Dominion Voting Systems. And February 14th, Assemblywoman Gail Pellerin proposed legislation that would essentially, AB 969 wanted to make it where counties couldn't do getting rid of a contract without having something in place. So March 23rd, she actually gutted her original bill on February 14th and replaced it with a totally different version, which is interesting when somebody proposes a bill and then absolutely guts it a short time after. And she modifies it to a totally different election code section to read, "A county board of supervisors shall not terminate an existing voting system contract without a transition plan and replacement contract in place." So on March 28th, Shasta supervisors directed staff to establish a hand counting system. What we do know is there already was a hand counting system in place. But this is when I can remember, as we're meeting with the Secretary of State and getting letters from Alex Padilla and understanding, I started to realize I don't think the state is really going to work with us in terms of what our people want. It sounds like we're going to start getting pushed around. So April 19th, AB 969 was heard in the Assembly Committee on Elections, and the analysis states that there is no fiscal impact. And that I want to make sure I'm doing quotes and stressing that it stated that there was no fiscal impact from the bill, that existing federal and state law contain requirements that some argue, cannot be satisfied without voting technology that includes a voting system and other voting equipment. So we begin to get gaslit as supervisors and the public to believe that computerized voting systems are required by law to satisfy ADA requirements, which they're not. We know that. This analysis also alludes to the incoming regulations from the Secretary of State on hand counting. So the Secretary of State, knowing that we're going that direction, decides to come out with new regulations, and I'll tie that in with what's happening tomorrow. So on May 18th, the Senate adds an urgency statute to the language, declaring that the bill will take effect immediately. Now, keep in mind, Shasta County went first. They were what you'd call the breachers. They were the first in. They were the first boots on the ground to punch open the door and say, hey, we're going to look at this. But I now know there are many counties who are really looking at this. The troubling thing for me, and I'll get back to the timeline, is how many supervisors say, well, we want to see kind of what happens with you guys. We're watching very closely, and we're rooting for you. You know, and this is where I say, hey, that's great you're rooting for us. Why don't you, put on a helmet, buckle up the chin strap, and come with us? And I think that's coming, but now with how the Secretary of State and the legislature is rushing this forward, counties can't move quite that fast. So on May 19th, the Secretary of State introduces proposed regulations on hand counting. And these regulations are so cumbersome that no county will be able to follow them and succeed at counting ballots by hand on time. I mean, they're moving the goalposts and making it crazy difficult. The regulations require use of a computerized voting system to do a full audit of the manual tally. So, they're saying you have to purchase the voting system. So why do the manual tally if they're saying you have to go run them through a machine anyway? Well, what that did was that also began the required 45-day notice that must be given to counties or the public for adoption of new regulations. So no substantial changes to the original regulations can be made once they are introduced. And the public has 45 days to review them. And, and that gives the public a chance to, educate themselves and others as well. So on June 13th, the Senate makes a drastic change to the bill, adding most of what defines it today. And here's some excerpts. This bill would prohibit an elections official from performing a manual vote count in a semifinal official canvass pursuant to the above procedures in any contest in which there are more than 1,000 eligible registered voters. So, again, constantly, if you ever remember watching Peanuts or Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown goes to kick the ball and Lucy moves it, and he big leg sweep, tries to kick it, she moves it, he lands on his back, good grief, the whole thing. And then he does it again, and he's done it, I guess, for 50 or 60 years, keep thinking he's going to kick that. Well, it troubles me that our state is doing that with local control as it relates around voting. And again, going back to Fountain Wind and gun rights and clean energy, or I don't even like saying clean energy, but alternative fuel things. I mean, this isn't new, right? The government continues to do it. The difference is here in Shasta County and other counties are really starting to say after COVID, like, no more, no more. This is wrong. You can't just keep moving the football. And that's what they've done. June 13th, they completely changed the bill again. And so they're making it where it becomes nearly impossible. So from June 13th, we go into June 28th, and the bill is heard in the Senate Committee on Governments. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. The bill is heard in the Senate Committee on Governance and Finance, and it passes 6-2, and then it was sent back to the Senate Appropriations Committee. Well, what that means, and the way the bill was amended in the Senate on June 29th, this says it makes the termination of a contract for a certified voting system provisional unless and until the jurisdiction has a transition plan and has finalized and signed a new contract for a certified voting system. A manual count plan shall be consistent with the regulations adopted by the Secretary of State regarding manual vote count. So what they're doing is they're saying we're going to make it really hard, and then they kind of see how we react, and then they have the next meeting to make sure they continue to one-up and making it more difficult. But here's the interesting part, right? Anytime, and I've talked about this on my show about SB 90 dollars, anytime the state mandates that you have to do something, the state has to pay for it. So now what happens is the state is sending this back, right? The state is sending this back to the Senate Appropriations Committee because it's going to have a financial implication. And here's what I'll tell you. Shasta County is on the front end of this. The state should have to pay for all of this because they're mandating something and they're changing the rules. So I'll be very curious as we get into this hearing tomorrow. And it's down in Sacramento. And if you're wanting to go, I believe it starts at 10 o'clock, and I don't have the actual address sitting here in front of me. Maybe I can get that during the next break. But you can go and you can speak, actually, at the hearing about how unconstitutional the hand counting and what they're doing is. So, again, this goes back to January 24th, and now here we are July 3rd, and in a very, very short amount of time, they've rushed forward legislation. They've put regulations on the act of tabulating votes almost to make it impossible or illegal nearly. And then on top of that, they're making sure that nobody else can ever do it again. And this is, again, this is what bothers me as we continue down this road of local control. We have to be given the right to do things that we think are in the best interest of the people that we represent. And that's where we are. So tomorrow down in Sacramento, if you want to go, I believe that starts at 10 o'clock. And, you know, and on the call this last week about AB 969 during the hearing on the 28th, there was, and I've been told by people that called in, there were 131 people. Now, it was supposed to be the fifth item on the agenda. So people called in at like 9:05, but guess what they did? They rushed it to the front. So they did it first. Of course, they do. And again, legislatures, supervisors, probably council people, they can move the agendas around because what's on the agenda has got to be on the agenda. That's what you're going to discuss. But they can move the order around. So they moved the order up. And what happened was a lot of people that were going to testify and give statements, and they didn't get that. All they were given was the option to say they oppose or support. And of the 67 calls they actually took, and again, they said that there was, some people said they were ranging from caller 11 to 131, but then they only heard 67 individuals, and 56 were in strong opposition, 5 were in support, and the other 6 lines were unresponsive. And just to give you an idea of how many people or different counties, because people say, well, Kevin, how many counties? Well, here's the counties. San Mateo, Shasta, Contra Costa, San Bernardino, Sacramento, Sutter, San Luis Obispo, Fresno, Placer, Humboldt, Alameda, Orange, San Benito, Yuba, Sonoma, and last but not least, Nevada. And I do want to give who was on my show this last time, a couple weeks ago, Amy Young from Nevada County. She's also on the Central Committee down there. A lot of props because she's really been helping me because it does. It is moving so fast and there are so many things taking place that she's just been a great asset. So those are all the counties. And then, Pellerin, Assemblywoman Pellerin, continued to assert that her bill would not interfere with counties' ability to decide whether to use a computer or a manual tally to count votes. And when asked by Senator Glazer, and if you watch the hearing or listen to it, it's at the 33-minute mark, but he asked if her bill would provide a state takeover of election systems, and she replies, absolutely not. Well, it's simply not true. The bill mandates that counties purchase and use computerized voting systems and only allow for a contest with less than 1,000 registered voters to be tallied by hand. I mean, how many counties in California have less than 1,000 voters? Like, you tell me. You could research that, right? So it also requires any county wishing to do a manual tally of less than 1,000 voters has to have a plan for doing so approved by the Secretary of State. But what's crazy is we already have that. We have a 1% audit, and our local clerk said, well, you know, you're not taking into consideration the time to open ballots and the time to sort them into precincts. Well, we do all that stuff anyway. We do all of that anyway. And that's what I don't understand about the gaslighting, about all of this, as if we're saying we want to put a person on the moon. I mean, all this stuff that we're talking about wanting to do has been done. But again, for me and the theme, it always comes back to local control. We have to have local control with anything. It doesn't matter if it's voting, gun rights, energy, fountain wind, our land, all of that stuff. So again, we have to stay resolute and stern with our belief in our constitutional rights to do what we want here, essentially. And that's why one of the reasons I brought up for a future board meeting, I know CEO Rickard is working on it, moving us to a charter county. I believe that's the route we need to go. It takes more power, it gives the governor less power in our county to affect anything we do. And so we're going down that road. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the sweep at Mercy Canyon that happened this past week. There was a lot going on as it relates to roughly 60 to 75 individuals moving out of that private property that's down by Mercy Hospital. And we'll kind of unpack that and talk about what transpired this past week and the people that were helped and some of the stop gaps I believe we have to continue to fix. So with that, you'll listen to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We'll be right back.
And now the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Are you okay with Gavin Newsom selecting your next supervisor? Stand with Kevin Cry and keep him in office. Please join us for a fundraising dinner and live auction on August 5th at the Senior Citizen Hall in Reading at 2290 Benton Drive. Tickets can be purchased in person at Ninja Coalition in Jones Fort or by calling 530-776-4790. Get your tickets soon. This event will sell out. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the committee Stop Newsom, No on Cry Recall.
Hey, Redding, don't miss out on our Burger Basket Diner deal. Here for the summer only. Get your paws on a single, double, or triple burger and fries any time of the day. For an added treat, make it a combo with a specially priced, hand-scooped ice cream milkshake. Open daily, so come on in and feed your inner bear at the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
All right, we're back. Billy Joel, My Life, Kevin Cry, this is my show. And I always want to give credit to Billy Joel because I never really appreciated him as a kid growing up, but what a great musician. So, okay, one thing I do want to touch on that I didn't mention, and I got a text from somebody just about, or a little message about, you know, what's the proof? What's the proof about all this stuff is illegal and they're taking away local control? So clerks and clerk associations, they don't decide what's the best method to count votes, right? The people do. Just like the government or people don't get to decide what's done with a person's private property, right? The people do. And when it comes to the right to bear arms, et cetera, the people do. This is all about local control and people's right. The people pay for voting systems with their tax dollars. The people also have the right to not consent to have their votes counted with computers. And it's protected in the California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. And I quote, all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit. And they have the right to alter or reform it when the public good may require. I'm going to read that one more time so people can really just let that wash over them. And this is our California Constitution. This isn't something that I made up or it sounded like a good idea because I got it in a fortune cookie. I mean, this is what I swore to defend, right? The California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, all political powers inherent in the people. Government is instituted for the protection, security, and benefit. And they have the right to alter or reform it when the public good may require. And again, local control people, we have to make sure that we remember that. And, You know, when we came in from the break, we had Twisted Sister, obviously. And I just was reflecting back during the break about Billy Joel, my life, my show. How'd I end up here as I'm looking out the beautiful Sunday morning? And if you would have told me 2 years ago I'd be doing a radio show about politics and about this kind of stuff, I'd say you're crazy. But why do I pick Twisted Sister and we're not going to take it? And I used to use that coaching up in Oregon because I took over a program that was basically just very, very run down, and we brought it back to respectability and beyond. And it really comes down to we got to put our flag in the ground. We got to say, that's it. No more. We're going to stand our ground. We're not going to take it. And that is why on tomorrow morning, July 3rd at 10 a.m., I'll be down at the Secretary of State, the March Fong U, and it's EU building, which is 1500 11th Street, the first floor auditorium in Sacramento, 10 o'clock. There's going to be, I don't know, I'm going to guess 10 to 20 counties represented by different people. I don't know how many supervisors are going. I don't even know how many supervisors or if any supervisors are going from Shasta County. And again, people, this is not about voting. This is about local control. And this is the thing right now that has been brought to my doorstep, to your doorstep, as it relates to local control. So as I had said before the break, we are going to go back to we're going to talk about Mercy Canyon. So we had a sweep, and that's, I don't know if that's the official term, but what that basically is RPD goes in and red tags all of the tents and all of the structures of the people's dwellings where they've been living on private property, because it is a major fire hazard. And I've been down there for over a year. It was basically like the year anniversary, because the very first Sunday that I went out to Martin Luther King Park and met all these great people, both volunteers and then individuals living in the canyon and just on the streets throughout Redding, it was the last weekend in June. So there was a bit of, I don't know if you call it irony, but, you know, it was like a full year. So on Monday, I went over, and then because I thought it was starting Monday, but evidently it was going to be starting Wednesday. So I went over there Monday, checked on some people. And then again, CERT, which is the critical response team, City of Redding, and there's also Shasta County has mental health practitioners or individuals helping, you know, in that team. But they were out there. Peer support had been out there for a week or two, and I can't give you the exact amount of people or days or times, but they were out there prior to the sweep. So Tuesday's a board meeting. Wednesday, I get a call from a local individual lady asking if I was coming over. And I was. I was going to head over about 11 o'clock because I had a 9 o'clock meeting across town. And so as I was driving in, this is about 10 after 8, I said, all right. So I whip around. I go down Court Street, and I go over to Martin Luther King Park, park there, and then I walk into Mercy Canyon. And, I see the backhoe, and there's a little bit of media there. Everybody's standing behind the barricade kind of. And so I start to walk into the canyon, and I call HHSA and ask, hey, you know, do we have people over here? Where are they? And I was told that the CERT team, the critical response team, was on site somewhere. And I remember when I went to the Henderson open space clearing, they had a table set up, and there was, you know, ample people, or I won't say ample people. I'll say there was a table set up, giving out some granola bars, waters, making connections, doing that. And again, like most organizations, when you've done something once or twice, you tend to get better, more structured towards it. So I started making calls, and really couldn't get anybody, and I couldn't understand why the CERT team wasn't there if I was told they were. So I actually called Chief Schuler, and I'll tell you, I have a lot of respect for Chief Schuler. You know, he's very busy, and if you remember, that was the day that there was an overturned truck on I-5, so it closed both directions of traffic. But he got back a hold of me and said, no, CERT is never there on times of you know, on clearing days. And I get that. I get the reasoning or rationing or the rationale for that. And I haven't substantiated this with Chief Schuler, but I have talked to others, and they say you don't want CERT there, even though they're plainclothes officers. You don't want them there with other law enforcement, because CERT's real main objective is to help people get into services, get off the streets, get the things they need. And if people are not complying with leaving their dwelling when it's being cleared, then they could get arrested. Well, you don't want CERT there while other people are getting arrested, because the CERT team, by and large, or at least the individuals that I've actually spent a little time with, do a great job developing relationships with individuals, so there's opportunity for them to for individuals who need help, need services, need housing, etc., to have that relationship set up, so they'll actually, you know, take the person's hand for that hand up, and sometimes it's a handout. I mean, let's just be frank. And so they don't have them out there. Well, what was tough for me is as I went into the canyon, there was a few people, and I'll just use their first names. There was Angela and Jimmy and Stephanie and people that I've seen over the past year, a couple of them for about 7 months, that they were still there. And one of them was, you know, eating a bowl of cereal. I believe it was probably powdered milk with water, sitting on a bucket. And they were very dejected, just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going to go. So I said, hey, we, you know, talked to you for 7 months. You know this was coming. Where are you headed now? I don't know. I'm just going to sit here. And the individual had like three dogs and a cat and a little kitten. And we just had a very, very, very like quick, but I think very deep heart to heart. And actually, and I'll even say this, Annalise Pierce from Shasta Scout wasn't too far away. She was up the canyon a little bit taking pictures and walking around. So she may have heard some of this or all of it. But I told Stephanie, I said, what's it going to be in a year? You're going to be somewhere else doing the same exact thing, getting moved again. Like, what's it going to take? So whether it was wearing her down or whatever, but Angela and Jimmy and Stephanie, we marched out of the canyon. I pushed one of the baskets myself and got them up to Martin Luther King Park. So when these three individuals said, okay, here it is, I'm rock bottom, I'm ready for help, but there's no help there. So I wound up getting a hold of Officer Kettle. Now, Officer Kettle, keep in mind, I call him, and I heard playing in the background, and he is on vacation, out of state, on water slides, or doing something with his kids. And he spent about 10 minutes with me helping get some things put together. Meantime, Laura Burks and a lot of her team from HHSA showed up. We had Christine from No Boundaries show up. So I'm going to fast forward this, but those three individuals were able to transition over, get housing, get help, and this is their shot to get services. Now, here's what I know. You can't – that there's all different types of laws and regulations that law enforcement or HHSA employees that work for the county, you know, can't do maybe during a clearing like that. And what I did, I wasn't doing per se as a sitting supervisor of District 1, which, again, Mercy County would be in my district, but – The reality is, as a private citizen, I'm able to do some things. I'm able to go there, help, make phone calls. Now, let's be honest, a private citizen isn't going to be able to reach out to the head of HHSA or the chief of police or whatever. But I am convinced, I mean, and no one could tell me different, I don't think anybody would argue this, the reason those three individuals wound up coming out and getting those services was because a bunch of us, have developed a relationship with them. I don't want credit. I don't need credit. I just happen to be the person there that day that said, hey, let's make a change. Let's do something different. And I'm very excited because this next week on Thursday, I'm going to be going back and I'm going to do a checkup, and we had talked a little bit. And so I'm really hoping and praying that they're still there and they're working towards recovery and getting on their feet, because all three of those individuals have a lot of trauma, but they also have a lot of upside in terms of their intelligence and their ability to fend for themselves, get jobs, and then be positive contributing members to society. So I believe, and this is why I've been meeting with some churches, I believe more and more non-government people need to start rowing together, and that needs to be organized. And that's where this at-home program comes into place. And the at-home program is an ad hoc the at-home is a state-sponsored program, for lack of a better term, to give counties or counties and cities a structure of how to work together to improve people's life. But again, what's really tough is you get a bunch of elected officials, a bunch of different city managers, and everybody starts to clamor tour. And I hope this doesn't happen in Shasta County. I hope we work really closely together and make it better. But I know that churches and private organizations need to rally and step up, because some of the things I've been able to do just as just your average everyday citizen, and I got to tell you, it's not the funnest thing. I've missed so many flag football games, basketball games, track meets, birthday parties, family outings, because every Saturday I've been out there, and you don't know the one Saturday that you go, maybe somebody's going to show up who you've talked to a few times, and if you're not there, they're not going to see you. There's a gentleman named Frank. Frank has promised me this next Saturday I could bring a drug test. He'll pass it, and then he can get this cabinet. And he's a journeyman cabinet maker. He is legit a very, very good cabinet maker. He moved here actually from Montana. Went from Sacramento to Montana to Redding. And then I've told this story, and he doesn't mind me telling it, because he actually said he kind of likes the pressure now that I'm going to hold him to this, because, you know, he was making $50 plus an hour building cabinets. And so it's time, and he knows it. He was in Mercy Canyon for pretty much the entire year that I've been there, and he's ready to make that change. So I'll be talking about that in a couple of weeks to give everybody an update. But people have to start leaning in and making that difference, because we can't rely on government agencies to fix these problems. The government agencies have the money, but the private citizens are the ones that have to build these relationships. Because, again, let's face it, there's a lot of great, great, great people that choose to work in social services or choose to work in a vertical that they care about. And this is what's and I'm trying to choose my words very carefully, because it's not remotely meant to be disrespectful, and I hope it doesn't come off that way. But when you're paid to do something, there is a secondary motivation, and that's okay. I'm a capitalist. I think there's nothing wrong or un-American or un-Christian with making money, but it's what you do with that, of course. And I think more people that say, hey, I'm just going to lean in, and I'm going to lean in for 6 months. So I'm working on a couple things with a couple different churches. I've met with the biggest churches, different outreach pastors, and we're trying to align some things where once we get this at-home program, as it relates to the county and the governing bodies and the money, we can then put that out to the nonprofits. But again, the nonprofits are driven by getting funded. So we're going to be able to say, hey, you know, if you want funding, at least from us and how this looks, you're going to have to do these things, because these are the things that our ad hoc committee have said what we're going to get behind as a county and group of cities to make a difference in this space. But again, going back to Wednesday with that sweep, those three people, like, we didn't have anybody there and there was some miscommunication. But I think that is when, and this is what I'm going to die on this hill, I think it's most important. You got to do all that work before, which they did. But I think when people are actually being moved, that's when we need people there. It's like trying to give somebody or convince somebody to take a life jacket when they're sitting in the middle of an island. They're like, ah, okay, I'll take it just in case. And a lot of, you know, some people do. But you take that person and drop them 500 yards offshore in the water, in the ocean, what is the likelihood of them taking a flotation device then? Pretty certain, right? So there were six people left in that canyon, five of them. Said they wanted housing. And I can only substantiate that three wound up getting it. The other two, I'm not sure if they got waitlisted or what, but I'll find out with that, because I was told there was limited beds at No Boundaries. And again, I'll say this, Christine had said, and I can't give you the exact number, but there's 80-some beds that they have access to, but only 60-some are funded. So I'm going to be working with Christine and looking a little bit deeper into that in terms of, if there are 20 beds, what does that look like? And again, this is conversations that many of us have had already to see what the other opportunities are. So I'm going to segue now. We have a few minutes left, and this is a recall update. All right. So, you know, first of all, congrats to Shasta County, more specifically the voters of District 1, as we're winning this battle against the angry mob of people whose candidate lost the past election. You know, it still amazes me that the proponents continue to gaslight the public and continue to lie that if I was recalled, that Governor Gavin Newsom wouldn't get to pick my replacement. It's law, people. End of story. Mic drop. Good night. Please tip your waiter as you exit. I mean, that's the reality. The reality is, if a supervisor, not just me, but any supervisor is recalled, Governor Gavin Newsom gets to appoint. And you talk about local control being thrown out the window, and that's one of the many reasons why I believe a charter county is needed, because we can take that away. We can, as a charter county, under the correct type of charter, and there's different charters that we could adopt, but we would be able to tell Gavin Newsom, no, never, you don't get to do that in our county. So if there ever was a recall, we get to vote on it like we used to be able to do and like we did as a county a couple years ago, or whenever Supervisor Garmin was put in. And, you know, so that's all the real time I'm going to get it. Although I did kind of laugh because, I got a flyer in the mail because District 1 voters, get flyers from myself, some directly from me, some from, the Water Users Committee or, which is an IE or the recall group. And it says, sign the petition, get rid us outside mud. And it's hilarious, because my opponents have this big typo, and it's basically saying, get rid of us. And so if you're a District 1 voter and you have that, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The big typo puts us in there about getting rid of somebody. And so I thought that was apropos. Okay, so what's on the agenda coming up for our next board meeting? I'll tell you some of the things that I'm really, really excited about that we have coming up. We have the Zog Fire settlement that we're going to unpack as a board. And I haven't spent, because, you know, the Zog Fire District 2, I've actually had a few different people reach out to me now. And, again, it's District 2. And one thing with supervisors is kind of a, maybe it's an unwritten rule, but we always tend to push things over to our fellow supervisors when it's outside of our district. But I have had some people recently reach out and say, hey, or even just in the meeting, talking about, hey, can you tell us why these different nonprofits are getting millions of dollars, sometimes which is 5 or 8 times the amount of their normal budget? Why are they getting these large chunks of money? And I'll tell you that I think there's a lot of great organizations that are getting money from this settlement, and it's no knock on them, but I do have the question of why are we giving $500,000 to a fire mitigation organization, but we're giving, you know, millions to other places. I would think that, you know, and the other thing too is there's a lot of individuals with the Zog Fire that haven't even been paid out yet in their own personal settlements. And what's troubling as well, and again, I'm at the very, very beginning of this because this was just this past board meeting, but I am asking the question of, you know, why criminally are we not going after PG&E? People died. And but we get this payout, and it was interesting to me how fast the money has already been allocated to different organizations. And I want to know what the process. And I'm not saying there's anything nefarious. I'm just saying, hey, I have some questions about it, and I'd like to understand, because the public would like to understand how $55 million is being split up among various county organizations. So the Zog Fire, that's one thing that I'm going to spend some time on for sure. On my next show in a couple weeks, but also it's supposed to come back before the Board of Supervisors. The other, interesting thing to me coming up is I'm believing on July 11th we're going to talk about the Redding Rancheria agreement with the tribe as it relates to the county and county services. This has been a process that is months and months and months in the making, and because of retirements and people being out on sick leave and resigning from the county. So it's always been this stop and start and stop and start process with the tribe. And the tribe's getting frustrated. This is like their, I think, fifth CEO that they've spoken to about this. I've been told, I wasn't here, but I've been told that it started a little bit with Larry Lease, and then it went to Matt Pontus, and then it went to interim CEO Minturn, and then it went to interim CEO Mary Williams, and now it's at Dave Rickert. So, you know, I was starting to worry or be concerned a few months ago that, hey, you know, the Redding Rancheria is a sovereign government. It's a sovereign government. Like, governments don't have to play nice. Governments don't have to work together if they don't want to. I mean, I think the best things, collaboration-wise, is important to work together. But we need to get this deal done. So we'll be talking about that on the July 11th meeting. And the last thing I'm going to tell you is there's a couple items on closed session. You need to look at those. Closed session, July 11th. I'm excited about that. Those have been three-plus months in the making, and they're going to be big. Here's the last thing. Have a happy 4th of July. This is Smash Mouth's 4th of July. I love you, Shasta County. I'm thankful for you. Have a great week. Enjoy your family, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
We're coming down the mountain on some Sunday afternoon. We will always be here.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.